Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com. I need some touching.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who keeps the alternative medicine assholes at bay. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question, you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call, 347-766-4323. That's 347-WHOHEAD. Or follow us on Twitter, at Weird Medicine, or at Lady Diagnosis, or at Dr. Scott WM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Go to our merchandise store at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician, assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, or whatever. So a couple of things. One thing I want to talk about, the intro. You know, I was thinking, you know, for the SiriusXM show, it makes sense for us to have a standard intro. Mm-hmm. For the podcast, maybe not so much, because I notice when I've got, like if I listen to DC On Screen, I skip over the, you know, I've heard their intro so many times, I just skip over it. And I wonder if people are doing that with ours too. So listen, if you're listening to this, just drop me an email at weirdmedicine@riotcast.com or you can do I don't know. What other email? Oh, you know what? You can just go to drsteve.com and click contact. Mm-hmm. Drop me a note. Would you rather just have a shorter intro? We could still use the same music, but I'll just cut in way, way, way sooner. But I love that Sherwin Sleeves music so much. And, it's you know, fabulous. Have you watched that show Patriot yet?
So I got to tell you, we just finished the second season. That's the best fucking show I've seen in a long time.
Well, you know,
time.
The guy that wrote our theme song writes that show.
I know. It's just
blows. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we talked about it.
One of them,
but it's incredible.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going
Second
to
season was the best by
oh,
far.
Oh, my
When he's
God.
Singing, people who haven't watched it don't know what the hell we're talking about, but when he's singing those songs, telling you exactly what he's getting ready to do, mm-hmm. I guess I'm going to have to kill this guy. And, you know, mm-hmm. that's so great.
Yeah. I met John in the bar the night. He was a nice dude.
Yeah. I hated to have to kill him.
I hated to kill him, but I did. I hope his wife
That is
doesn't
such
care.
A brilliant show. And I figured those songs, as they got weirder and weirder, were probably more often than not written by Sherwin Sleeves, a.k.a. Sean Hurley. And if you want to see one of the other funniest things he's ever done, in my opinion, is go on Minecraft or go on YouTube and watch Sherwin Sleeves Plays Minecraft. Let me see if I can find it real quick. If you've ever played Minecraft, and if you haven't, get your kids who have, because they will die laughing. Yeah, okay, it's called Let's Play Minecraft with Sherwin Sleeves. Let's see here if I can. So it starts off with him in this hole.
Select world.
Yeah, select world.
New world, new world.
And all it says is New World,
it's
New World.
It's all the same. See. See. I don't know what any of this is, so we'll just...
Okay, so he immediately gets killed.
And how did I start?
And there are slimes. And they're jumping at him, and he thinks they're his friend.
What are these things? Get away from me.
And he died again.
What is this game?
Okay, I'll let you watch it yourself. It's more visual. Well, you need the combination of visuals and
that's funny.
This sort of clueless old man trying to play Minecraft, because it is the most mindless game anyway, you know? But anyway.
I was just wondering, though, if I would love to get the words, lyrics to that, those songs that he does, just because, you know, the second season.
I'd like
season,
to have an album of those songs. They're great songs.
Well, you know, and the cool thing was the second season, they started playing they started putting the words, subtitling to a lot of those songs, which is kind of fun.
Well, I always watch TV with the subtitles on anyway.
Okay. It was great.
We started doing that with Sons of Anarchy when they went to Ireland. We couldn't understand that they were whispering and they were speaking with these heavy Irish accents. Like, we can't understand anything you're saying. So we started watching TV with the subtitles on. Now, like, we were like a couple of old folks in the nursing home, and we always watch stuff with the subtitles on.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So people should check it out.
But anyway, check out Patriot.
Patriot.
On
Netflix.
No. It's Amazon Prime, isn't it? Yeah, it was Amazon Prime.
Yeah, Amazon Prime. You're right.
Check it
Apologize.
Out. And if you're any fan of Sherwin Sleeves at all, watch for his name in the credits.
It was awesome.
Steve Conrad writes he's the showrunner. Hardest working dude in the business. He wrote the shows with the help of our buddy and directed all of the episodes. And they were all over the place. They were in Paris and all, you know, just it's an amazing show and it's an amazing creation. Because even Vince Gilligan on Breaking Bad, everybody else directed those. He'd direct the first and last episodes, but other people would direct the ones in between a lot of times.
Okay.
But he directed every single thing. So it's his creation from the beginning to the end. Hmm. It's pretty cool.
Good stuff.
Even Brian Koppelman can't claim that.
Huh. Who's that?
He's the guy that did Rounders, and he is the showrunner, producer, writer for Billions on Showtime.
Okay.
It's a great show. And he's Jenny Hutt's brother.
Hmm.
So that's how I kind of know him. And but anyway.
Hmm. Cool.
All right. Anyway. All right. let's talk about this for a second. Noom, not a sponsor of the show.
Right.
I'm a huge fan. My Noom app has allowed me to lose 14 pounds so far, and I'm on my way to losing 28, so I'm halfway to my goal. And it's I'm not going to say it's been effortless, but it has been a lot easier than I thought. And the thing I like about this is they're cool with whatever you want to do. I mean, if you want to do paleo, you can do it. You could just do it the Noom way. You can do a vegan diet. You could do whatever. Their thing is, it's not about the diet. This is not a diet. This is a way of changing your relationship with food through psychology.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what's the biggest difference between that Noom and anything else you've ever tried?
That it's really based on psychology. It's like, you know, if you, because my wife, when before she did it, all the things that she said were all things that they covered in different segments of the Noom thing. So you have an app, mm-hmm. and every day there are articles that you read mm-hmm. and little quizzes that you take. And then you get on your group. You have a group, and then you you take your assignment and you put it on there. It takes you 10 minutes a day. It's okay. No big deal. But the articles will talk about thought distortions, like I can't do this, or I always fail, or you know I can never eat that food. Things like that. They say those are all thought distortions. We need to get rid of those and start changing the habits. And habits take certain time. Number of weeks.
Sure they do.
So it's $10 less than Weight Watchers, and I think you get more out of it. Plus, instead of dealing with points, they just deal with calories. And that's a lot easier. I went to Cheddar's today, and I was looking at their salads, and they just had them posted in calories. Well, I know what my caloric requirement is for the day, and hell, some of their salads would have put me over the edge.
Oh,
I mean, well, they've got Caesar salads with pasta in them and sure. this and that and all kinds of stuff that run the caloric value up. And, you know, so it was really helpful to me, whereas if I had been on Weight Watchers, no flies on Weight Watchers, it's very effective.
Sure, very effective, yep.
One of the only commercial systems out there that's been scientifically validated to be effective. Mm-hmm. But I believe Noom will be another one. They you know, I wouldn't have known how many points any of those things were.
Right. So how many calories are you taking into on a daily?
Well, my goal is 1,400.
Okay.
So I was probably eating 2,300 before, and I usually come in under that.
Wow.
You know, because you know, I'm really taking it seriously. And then, what I would do. This is what an idiot I am. And I would go, like, if I went to Cheddar's, they have those Wisconsin cheese bites.
Mm-hmm.
I'd eat the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 1,800 calories right there.
Right.
And then I would eat a meal.
Sure.
And I was compulsively eating. They call it fog eating. It's one of the things where I would just eat and just not be aware that I was doing it.
Right.
And so I am now acutely aware of what I'm putting in my mouth.
Have you not been around me enough all these years to know mindful eating?
No, I know. Well, I am mindful, but I wasn't like if I was cooking, I'd be distracted cooking, and then I would just be shoving a bag of chips in my fat face.
Shoveling is the word.
And then wondering why I was fatter than I've ever been in my life. And just shoveling shit in.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween candy. Well, I'll just eat four. Well, then I go back and, well, I'll just, you know, shit, let me just take a whole handful. And that'll be all I'll eat. That'd be another five. By the time I was done, I would have eaten a whole bag.
Okay.
Now, one of the incentives on this is my group leader is too, but I don't correspond with her as much, but my individual counselor, her picture is like this crazy hot woman, right?
Oh, of course.
And
it's
not like I think I've got a shot with her or anything, but I don't want to disappoint her by telling her that I ate a whole bag of Snickers, you know?
Gosh.
So I just don't do it. Since I started this, because of the accountability, I haven't done anything.
Wow.
So I'm trying to get them to be sponsors of this show because it's something I can actually believe in, you know?
Right on. 14 pounds, that's a lot for you.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel good. I mean, people have noticed, and I'm going for another 14. I want to get down to my ideal body weight, which is 155.
Seems low for you.
Nah, it's not. I got a lot of shit you can't see.
That's cool.
So,
And you'll add an inch to your penis.
That's right. Add penis or a penis of inch length, an inch of penis length through Dr. Steve's formula, which says you gain 1 inch of penis for every 35 pounds of weight that you lose. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that. I might even just shave it all down so you can see it in all its glory. Not you, but I mean, when I say you, I'm talking, you know, using that as a neutral pronoun. But anyway, all right. You ready to answer some questions?
Let's do it, Doc Steve.
Hey there. I was wondering what you guys would think of, because you're talking about things that can be measured in science, and I'm wondering, you know, like about energy fields, what would you come up with, like, you know, things like the idea and feeling of love or inspiration or something on those lines. So, yeah.
Okay. So bioenergy fields and love fields and inspiration, how do we measure these things? So what we were talking about is people who perform some sort of quote-unquote alternative modality. Let's say therapeutic touch. That's a good example. So therapeutic touch is a misnomer because you don't actually touch the people. You wave your hands over them and they supposedly feel better. And if you talk to the practitioners that do this, they'll say that they're modifying, or some of them will, they're modifying the patient's bioenergy fields. And I just challenged people, let's measure those fields, because you can't, because they don't exist. And there are field, we have a lot of field equations in physics that describe the model that we use to explain things like electrons and gravity, or, you know, the Higgs boson, those kinds of things. It's not the particle that's interesting, it's the field. Because when you see an electron, it's actually a perturbation of the electromagnetic field that permeates all of existence. And when we see the Higgs boson, what we're really doing is perturbing the Higgs field that imparts mass to small particles. And we're just seeing this perturbation of that field, and so we can see it expressed in our universe as a particle. Now, one thing that's kind of interesting, if you want to take a quick diversion and talk about the Higgs field, people say, well, the proton and the neutron, they get their mass from the Higgs field. Actually, it's not 100% true. The gluons... the quarks that are inside proton and the neutron, because they are not fundamental particles. They are particles made up of three quarks. And these quarks are interesting because they have fractional charge. So you may have a two-third plus a two-third and then a negative one-third charge. So four-thirds minus one is three-thirds, so that'll give you a plus one charge. If you could have – you can also do combinations of these where you end up with a neutral particle that has no charge at all. So the Higgs boson, or the Higgs field, will impart mass to those particles, but they're tiny. It's tiny mass. The majority of the mass of the proton and the neutron comes from a relativistic mass, and it's because the strong force is so strong that the binding energy is so high that to keep these particles to the quarks together, and then to bind those the proton to other neutrons and other protons and stuff when they should be repelling each other, at least in, as far as the protons are concerned. All of that energy that's caused to hold these particles together is actually what imparts the vast majority of the mass of the proton and the neutron. And we can judge that mass-energy equivalence through Einstein's E equals mc squared. And as long as the particle is at rest, that will apply. If it's moving, then you have to add other factors, you know, to that equation. But when it's at rest, the
the momentum part of that equation goes to zero, because if it's at rest, there's no momentum. And then you, and E equals MC squared falls out. So anyway, just fascinating. But so we have these fields and we know they exist. You can't just go in and go, well, let me measure that, the permeating electromagnetic field, not easily anyway. So we can certainly measure electromagnetic fields at waves very easily. Matter of fact, you're doing that right now if you're listening to me on the radio, because radio waves consist of electromagnetic waves, and they're at right angles to each other. And if you may be aware of this, or you may not, if you move an electrical field, you will make a magnetic field. If you move a magnetic field, you'll make an electrical field. And so as these the magnetic field increases, right, and then you'll get an increase in the electromagnetic field, and these things will be out of phase with each other. And then as the one increases, the other one will increase, and then they'll decrease. And so as the electrical field increases, then the magnetic field will decrease, and then vice versa, and they'll just propagate to infinity, slightly out of phase with each other, but in a very mathematically describable way. So anyway, and that was Maxwell's genius. You know, of all the geniuses of the world, James Clerk Maxwell ranks up there. And, you know, his equations look so simple on the surface, but they were very subtle at the time. And he just through pure mathematics figured out that light must be an electromagnetic wave, because he saw that he calculated that his Maxwell did the first grand unification, where he unified electricity with magnetism. They knew they were related. They just didn't know how. And he unified them to a theory of electromagnetism. And when he did that, he saw that there would be this wave that would propagate through space at the speed of light. It just worked out. It was exactly the speed of light. So he said light must be an electromagnetic wave. And, of course, since then we've learned some more interesting things, that actually light can also, if you do the test right, can appear as a particle called the photon, and that has both wave and particle-like properties. And it just depends on what experiment you set up, whether you measure them as wave or particles. Anyway, so where the hell was I? See, this is when I need Dr. Scott here to get me reoriented to what I was talking about. Oh, bioenergy fields. So not aware of any bioenergy fields, never been measured. No physicist can develop a machine to measure these things. There are people that say, oh, we have... yes. Oh, no, but we do. We have things that will measure bioenergy fields, and they're just voltmeters and stuff. So, yeah, we have voltages in our body. Our heart works on an electrical principle that was developed long before James Clerk Maxwell figured out what electromagnetism was. And so there is electricity in our nerve cells and in our muscles. All of these things work by moving charged ions from one place to the other, and we would detect that as electricity. So, but as far as an intrinsic bioenergy field, no such thing. That's why we can't measure it. That's why when people say they're modifying your bioenergy field, you know that they're just making it up. Now, I do not disagree that things like therapeutic touch make people feel better. And people don't like, for whatever reason, it's become a pejorative term, their modality, whatever it is that their favorite thing is, where they're practicing medicine without having to go to medical school or osteopathic school. They don't like it when we say it's a placebo effect. That's not a pejorative term. The placebo effect is exceedingly powerful, so powerful that we must subtract it from every study on any drug or anything that we do. It has to be taken into account. So the placebo effect is very powerful. I have postulated in the national medical literature that we stop calling it the placebo effect if people don't like that, and call it the cryptogenic therapeutic effect, which means it's therapeutic, we just don't know how. By the way, there are placebo negative effects too. People will have adverse effects from the placebo as well. They'll call that the nocebo effect. But, you know, so if you test for adverse effects for a drug, you have to take placebo effect into account there as well. So anyway, very interesting. And but that's why we don't talk about bioenergy fields on the show, because no one has ever been able to demonstrate them. All right.
Dr. Steve Southern, happy new year.
Hey, man, thanks.
Well. So I've been hearing a lot about the carnivore diet lately, and I really wanted to give it a shot. Originally heard about it through Chris Bell, then this guy, Dr. Sean Baker. I listened to a couple things with him. Even this Jordan Peterson, the Canadian psychologist, supposedly follows it really strictly. My question is, why do vegetables not fit into this diet? You know, we've been told basically forever that broccoli, Brussels sprouts, greens, you know, like healthy greens are almost vital to our health. So these guys that follow the diet strict, they pretty much eat red meat and drink water. So if I wanted to give it a shot, cutting out stuff like broccoli, like stuff that's supposedly healthy, it's scary to me, I guess. And I basically just wanted to know from you the science, if you will, behind that.
Yeah.
And how it can, quote unquote, be healthy without having healthy vegetables. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's a great question. Look, I always get on the nutritionists, particularly the ones that are just very dogmatic and will only discuss the party line in nutrition. And if we knew what the right diet was, the best quote-unquote diet for everyone, if there was one, we would know it. And if we knew it, we would tell you. And the reason that we can still argue about this stuff is because we are omnivores and we can eat a lot of different kinds of diets and do okay with them. Now, there is some evidence that the vegan lifestyle offers some benefits. There is significant amount of evidence that the Mediterranean diet offers some benefits in some realms. There's also evidence that the low-carb diet offers some benefits. I did a PubMed search on zero-carb diet, which is what the carnivore diet is. It's zero carbohydrates, and could not find any medical literature on long-term benefits, effects, or anything. So until I see data, I feel like this is a diet that is rife for malnutrition, and I'll tell you why. And if Sean Baker's listening, he can call in and we can discuss it. There is a lot of there are a lot of beneficial molecules and atoms in things like green leafy vegetables that you will not get from just eating meat. Now, look, we have sharp canine teeth, and we also have flat grinding teeth, which tells me, and there is evidence to this effect, that we evolved as a species as omnivores. So carnivores have sharp teeth. Look at a kitty cat. And herbivores tend to have flat teeth for grinding. And we have both. And so simply eating meat and becoming a carnivore removes fiber from your diet. It removes certain vitamins and and other minerals from your diet. People will lose weight. I've seen people that did, quote unquote, the Atkins diet, who were just eating meat and bacon and mayonnaise and stuff. And by the way, Dr. Scott's joined us. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Howdy, Dr.
Steve. Oh, you got some reverb on you from last week.
Oh, from last week, yeah.
So I've seen people do that, and they will lose weight. They'll lose all kinds of weight. And they lose weight, in my opinion, because they become malnourished. So if this Sean Baker dude can give me some data that will convince me that this actually makes sense, I'm going to continue to advocate lean animal protein and green leafy vegetables if you want to do a diet like this. Because no one can tell me that, you know, a spring mixed salad with grilled chicken on it and, you know, some vinaigrette or whatever is unhealthy. You just can't do it.
Right.
Now, if you're a vegan or, you know, a strict vegetarian, then okay, then we can argue all the meat is a problem. You have to substitute it for something else. Dr. Scott is not a vegan. He is a pescatarian.
Right.
So he's not a complete nut. But no, it's, you know, the vegan diet does have some medical benefits, no question about that.
Sure.
I have seen fat vegetarians who eat a lot of potatoes and a lot of pasta and stuff. I've also seen malnourished vegetarians that don't get enough protein or aren't getting certain vitamins and minerals that they're missing by not eating any meat, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
May I add a little?
Of course.
What
we're talking about is a person called in about the carnivore diet.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of funny what you're talking about, though, Dr. Steve. I was reading a book the other day, and they were talking about why they did research on why some apes in captivity, they just fed them strictly the vegetarian diet, could not reproduce. And what they figured out was that when they started giving them animal protein, 6% of their diet, they could reproduce.
Interesting.
And they started doing some research. It was pretty cool. I had no idea.
Was it because of excess of estrogen from certain legumes like soy and stuff like that, or was it something else?
To a very minuscule degree, but the big thing was what they found was that in the wild, when these animals are eating leaves and grass and stuff, they're also getting some little bugs. And they're getting some little worms. They're getting little animal proteins.
That makes sense. Yeah.
It is only about 6%, but that kicked it in. So I'm 100% agreement with you. I like lean meats, you know, lots of veggies.
There are people that advocate high-fat diets, but when I see – this is what pisses me off. I'll see in the medical literature, they'll say, you know, the high-fat keto diet. The ketogenic diet does not have to be high fat. A lot of people choose to eat more fat, and there are those proponents out there that say, you know, fat's not the enemy, which it isn't.
Right.
But there's plenty of fat in lean animal protein already.
Sure.
There's plenty. You're not missing out on any significant essential fatty acids by eating lean animal protein.
No, I think people just like to eat a lot of bacon.
Well, they
bacon
do. It tastes good. Well, you get a big old ribeye and the big old chunks of fat in there.
Wrapped with bacon.
It's so good.
There you go. That's perfect.
So, yeah, and they've done studies on fat in candy. Like they'll have chocolates, and one will be low fat, high sugar, and one will be lower sugar and higher fat. And people will pick the higher fat one every time.
Right.
Now, this Sean Baker, this doesn't mean anything. This is from Everyday Health, and so I didn't have time to do in-deep research, but he's an orthopedic surgeon, major leader in the carnivore diet movement, and he authored a book released in 2018 titled The Carnivore Diet. Apparently, his medical license has been revoked. I don't know if that's true. I saw that he had a YouTube thing saying, here's what happened to my medical license. I don't know anything about it. It said the New Mexico Medical Board ordered the voluntary and permanent surrender of his medical license in 2017. But that may have nothing to do with the validity of his claims for the
carnivore diet. Sure.
If you're interested in looking more, just go on YouTube. He's got a YouTube thing going on where he explains all of that.
Hmm.
So, but I'm cool with low carb. I'm cool with ketogenic diet. There are some known benefits to ketogenic diet. I could find no literature whatsoever on zero carbohydrate diet. And it just kind of goes against my intuition, although some things are counterintuitive. Mm. But it also goes against my knowledge of nutrition when it comes to what's balance in all the other stuff that we
balance,
eat.
Balance, you know.
So,
yeah.
I can't recommend it.
No.
Doesn't mean it's bad. And I'm not saying he's an asshole or anything like that. I'm just saying I don't have any evidence that tells me that it's somehow better than a ketogenic diet that has a lot of green leafy vegetables in
right.
it. Atkins' original diet was not an all-meat diet. It was a diet that was rich in green leafy vegetables, broccoli, spinach, you know, lettuce, that kind of stuff, and lean animal protein. Mm. Yes. So, all right. So there.
There you
go. So I just don't know. No, I do know, but I don't have evidence to back up my claim either. Now, if we get a bunch of people who are doing it, and then we see that they're dropping dead or their cholesterol's going up or who knows what, then yeah, maybe.
Right.
But maybe we could make some claims to the adverse. I just don't see it.
It doesn't sound sustainable, though. Doesn't that type of diet to me just doesn't sound sustainable.
Yeah, well, people have trouble sustaining ketogenic diet, too, sometimes.
Oh, heck yeah. Yep.
You know, so, all right. Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Dr. Steve.
Yeah, man.
Why do I get different blood pressure readings between my left arm and my right arm? And when should I be concerned if the numbers are drastically different? And what does that even mean, drastically different? Like, how many points, systolic, et cetera, should they...
Beautiful question.
...be not the same? Can't wait to hear the response on air. Thank you.
Oh, we can't wait.
Hey,
cool. I hope it wasn't one of those... I'm getting back to you 3 years later, phone calls, because yes, there are a bunch of those.
Yeah. Now he's got a blood pressure of 280 in one arm and
right.
in his other.
Yeah. The thing is, when you're doing it yourself, you may get varying blood pressure readings, because if you're right-handed, you may be a little bit more facile putting that cuff on with your right hand onto your left arm than you are your left arm onto your right, and particularly if you're doing it with a stethoscope. Mm. So have an independent person who knows what they're doing. So get a professional. Do not do it in one of those machines at CVS or Walmart or wherever. You want a human being to do it with stethoscope in their ears. In a situation like this, even the machines that they have in the doctor's office aren't accurate enough for us to tell whether there's an issue. So you really want somebody to do it with their ears. Now, 10 to 15 millimeters of mercury, that's how we measure. And, it's like, well, it's just a dial. Where did that come from? Well, in the old days, we used to have these glass tubes. And you can use water. You can use any fluid that has a downward, the gravity's pulling it downward. But we used to use mercury because it was heavier and you wouldn't have to have a tube that was 22 feet tall. Mm-hmm. You could measure this in millimeters. So whatever pressure it takes to move that column of mercury in this glass tube up 22, it's X number of millimeters. So, mm-hmm. So a normal blood pressure is like 120 millimeters of mercury over 80 millimeters of mercury. Okay. And the whole over and under number has to do with when you first hear the sounds, mm-hmm. When you're listening with the stethoscope. So the way you do, I guess we probably ought to talk about this. So you put a cuff, and the cuff's got to be the right size.
Right.
If you're a big fatso, then you got to use a thigh cuff because it's got to be wide enough to get good compression. Because if you use too small of a cuff on a big fat person, they're going to read abnormally high. So the cuff's got to be the right size. Mm. And then you put a stethoscope over the artery in the antecubital fossa, or the other side of the, where the bend of the elbow is.
Flexing part of the elbow, right.
Right. And you pump this thing up while you're looking at the dial or this column of mercury. Mm-hmm. And then you start to let the air out. So you pump it up high.
Right.
200, 220.
At least, yeah.
Now, if you can hear blood pressure, if you can hear pumping there, you got a problem. So you got to pump it up even higher. You got to pump it up till you can't hear anything anymore.
Yeah, because it stops the blood flow.
That's right. You got to stop the blood flow.
Right. Then you can high enough.
And then you start to let the bleed off very slowly, the pressure in the cuff. And then you're listening while you're watching the dial, and you'll see the dial start to descend. And if you start hearing sounds around 140, and you'll hear boom, 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 boom. And if it starts around 140, that's your top number. Mm-hmm. And then you go down until you don't hear it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then that's your bottom number.
Right. Then that needle, okay. Needle kind of starts to bounce for
yeah,
you.
It starts to bounce around a little, and you have to do it a bunch of times. Yeah. In medical school, we had to do it tons of times before we started getting accurate readings. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, it just becomes second nature. Mm-hmm. So, you're averaging that out, because if that needle is bouncing, you got to average was it in the middle when it hit?
Right.
So it might be 145 and then down to 130, 135. Mm-hmm. So that'd be 140. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we measure that. Getting a reading consistent from side to side, given that it takes you a minute to go to the other side, your blood pressure can vary up and down. Mm. 5 millimeters of mercury, maybe 10, throughout the day. When you stand up, it drops and then comes back up again, may overshoot. I mean, it's not something that's real constant. So that may be the problem. So the most accurate way to do this, have two people who are proficient at it and measure it at exactly the same time. But that's not really necessary. What we're looking for is a difference of less than 10 to 15 millimeters of mercury. If it's more than that, then you start wondering, does this person have hardening of the arteries on one side or the other? Do they have what's called peripheral vascular disease? Is there some other issue that there's maybe a blocked artery in the arm? Do they have diabetes? Things like that. Mm. But anything less than that's no big deal. What this guy sent me was his, numbers, and they were really within 2 or 3 millimeters of mercury. Mm-hmm. So I think he's okay. But I said, just go and get a professional to do it, and then you'll know for sure. If you have blocked arteries in your arms, if you have
Too much fluid, like a lymphedema or something.
It's not able to accurately.
Right. They could push through.
Absolutely. Now, there's a thing called coarctation of the aorta, where you'll get a narrowing of the aorta. This is often congenital, so they'll diagnose this when you, you know, you're born with it, mm-hmm. AKA. Or if it develops as an as you get older, what you'll see there is you'll get different blood pressures in the upper extremities than the lower extremities, because the pressure up above is normal or high because, you know, the aorta is able to pump to the arms and all that stuff. And then as you descend and you get this narrowing of the aorta, now the pressure is going to be lower below that. And so you'll get a very low reading below the waist. And so, yeah, we can do thigh blood pressures. We can do ankle blood pressures. Matter of fact, to determine if someone has a peripheral vascular disease, meaning narrowing of the arteries in the hands and feet, we do a thing called an ankle brachial index. And what that is basically the ratio between the blood pressure in the ankle versus the blood pressure in the arm. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So just get a professional person using their ears to do your blood pressure on both sides and see what you get. If it's greater than 10 to 15 millimeters of mercury difference, then that bears further investigation. All right.
Hey, Dr. Steve. I'm calling from Buffalo, New York. I had a question for you. I'm 53 years old, and I'm seriously considering getting a vasectomy.
Excellent.
I don't really have a question about the procedure. My issue is that I have health insurance, but I have a $2,500 deductible, I guess. So they will cover the vasectomy after the $2,500. Is there anything that you know of? I suppose being in New York, it would be a regional thing, but about getting vasectomies like on a cheaper, I guess less expensive. I do see a couple things like MD Save or something like that, where they offer one for $636, but you have to like go to Illinois or someplace for it. I was just wondering what your opinion on those were. I guess it would vary, you know, on the doctor and everything, but I didn't know if you had come across anything where there's something like a flat rate type thing or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any information would be great. I appreciate it and love the show.
Okay, man. Hey, thanks. Highly recommend the vasectomy over the bilateral tubal ligation for women, unless the woman is having a C-section and her gut is already cut open. Because when you do a bilateral tubal ligation, which is where you tie the fallopian tubes of the woman to keep her from getting pregnant, you have to go through skin and then subskin and then the peritoneum and get actually into the abdominal cavity, peritoneum being the lining of the abdominal wall. Mm. And it's a pretty invasive procedure, requires general anesthesia or at least spinal anesthesia. So whereas a vasectomy, I just did mine in my urologist's office. Mm-hmm. You know, it's local anesthesia. It's
a little teeny incision.
My urologist, who's a friend of mine, who I've known since he was in medical school, forgot to tell me to prep my nuts. So I go in and he's like, oh, you didn't prep. It's like, well, nobody told me to. I didn't know. So he gets out this pink daisy razor and he puts me up in what we call dorsal lithotomy position, which means that like you're getting a pap smear. And he takes this dry daisy razor and starts dry shaving my nut sack. You just scritch, 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 scritch while he's going, yeah, so how'd you like a Pacific Grill last night? You know, it's just really kind of unnerving. The procedure itself is pretty easy. When they prep it, it's cold. And when they numb you up, it feels like they're sticking a needle in your nut sack for about a half a second. Yep. And then it's gone.
A little burn from lidocaine, and that's it. Yep.
It's all done. Yep. And well, until after the lidocaine wears off.
Sure.
But the procedure, and don't fall for this no scalpel technique thing. They still use a scalpel. It's just they're not calling it that. They use scissors with a razor's edge on it. And so they're still cutting into your nutsack same way they do with scalpel. That is a marketing bullshit trick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's effective like anything else, and it's effective marketing, but they still cut your nutsack.
Cut your nutsack, yep.
And then they go in and, you know, dissect out the vas deferens and cut it, burn it, ligate it, whatever they got to do, fold it in on itself. And even then, sometimes the damn things will reconnect. This statistic blew me away. 33% of men never go back to get their sperm count done after they've had the vasectomy. Hmm. That's insane.
Yeah.
If you go through all this trouble, go just give them a damn sperm count.
Yeah, at least make sure you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because we had somebody on our Reddit, on the subreddit, if you are interested in looking at that, it's reddit.com/r/DrSteve. Dr. Steve, and we answer medical questions over there. He never got his check. His wife got pregnant, and he was wondering if it was some sort of shenanigans behind his back. And it's like, dude, you know, if you didn't get checked, you can't really say you didn't have sperm. You know, he went and got checked after the fact. So, but anyway, it probably was malarkey, though, because he had zero sperm count and when he went back, but you can't say it. You know?
Yeah.
So it's a tough one.
But now regarding the question about payment.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about that. So that's the procedure.
Yeah.
It's an in-office procedure. It takes almost, you know, less than an hour to do. And you walk out of there and you get, oh, by the way, let me recommend one thing they don't recommend. Get a catcher's cup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a jock strap with the hard plastic cup, that saved me because I could go to work. I couldn't bump into anything. I could even, you know, hit it with my fist and not have any pain. And don't think you're so tough you can go back to work like I did. I was like, I'll just go back to work because I felt great.
Yeah.
When the lidocaine wears off, you will feel it.
That shit doesn't feel good.
And it does not feel good, but it's not horrendous, and it's just for a few days if everything goes well.
A little bit of rest and a little bit of ice goes a long way.
Yep. And he gave me a whole bottle of Percocet that I ended up throwing away because I think I took one of them, which is a whole nother issue we can talk about, the overprescribing of pain medication after some of these procedures. But anyway, so payment.
Yeah.
Call them. Say, yep. I'm cash. Look, if you're a cash-paying patient, they may make you a deal.
Exactly, because that cuts a lot of the time and overhead off.
Oh, yeah.
They know they're getting paid for a procedure. They don't have to argue with the insurance companies.
Because your deductible, you're going to be cash-paying anyway. Vasectomy is going to cost $2,500.
No.
So if it's the beginning of the year and you got a $2,500 deductible, you're going to be paying cash. So just tell them, I'll pay cash. No. Then, when they agree to a number, say, I want this applied against my deductible.
Exactly.
Now, that doesn't mean they have to file it. They can give you the form. If they're pissed, you know, because now they got to file it, just let them give you the form. You file it yourself.
Yep. And some people have health savings accounts. You might be able to use an HCA kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or HSA, rather.
Yeah.
I would at least call them and make them a deal.
Yeah. 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 I'll get closer to the mic.
Make a deal today. Yeah.
There you go. That's perfect. So do that. I would say $500 to $750 is the range where you're going to have to pay most places. And call around.
Yep.
Get it. Now, I don't want a damn discount vasectomy. I don't want discount sushi, and I don't want a discount vasectomy. So make sure it's a urology office. There are family docs who will do vasectomies. If you're going to go to a non-urologist, you got to ask them, how many have they done? What's their success rate? And what do they do if there's a complication? Who do they refer to?
Yeah, and if you're in a city where you've got a medical school and where they do residencies, especially, you know, urological residencies.
Yeah, you could get that.
It's real cheap.
You could get that cheap. And, you know, they got to learn somehow.
They got to learn, yeah. And they'll have supervisors in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And if there's a problem, then the attending will fix it.
Attending will jump in, sure.
But, so there you have lots of options. I really think you can get in for way under $1,000 on this one.
Me too. I'll do it for less than that.
Yep.
Hi, Dr. Steve. I'm wondering about a blood test that my physician could possibly give me in order for I'm trying to eliminate foods in my diet. Some foods give me indigestion, upset stomach, bloating, loose bowels and stuff, and I've seen a couple blood tests that you can buy at Amazon.com that take 5 drops of your finger prick blood, and you're supposed to get a report back. And I'm just wondering if that's okay enough, or if a physician can have a better blood test.
Okay. You can do that. There are now genetic tests that will that purport to tell you what you may be sensitive to food-wise. I don't think that's necessary. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Scott was shaking his head, too. You can. There's a thing called an elimination diet.
Absolutely.
And what it sounds like is you either have irritable bowel syndrome or you could be lactose intolerant. There are other sugars in foods that you could be intolerant to that your body can't break down. So you get bloating and diarrhea and gas because the bacteria are breaking it down and fermenting them.
Mm-hmm. Gluten sensitivity.
And it could be a gluten sensitivity. So you could have celiac disease. Or you could have something that's more serious like an inflammatory bowel disorder. So I think the easiest way to do this is to do an elimination diet where you just back off to a really bland diet till your symptoms go away and then you start adding things back one by one till you figure it out. Now, what were you going to say?
I was going to say the exact same thing. But what I was going to say is I would suggest start with what I would guess would be the most likely culprit, which are really grains, you know, glutens. Mm-hmm. Start there, you know, just start with eliminating breads and, you know, cereals that have glutens in them, and that may do it all by itself.
Yeah, and gassy vegetables are ones like broccoli and beans and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
Now,
beans.
You could try another approach. You could be lactose intolerant. If you drink a lot of milk or eat a lot of cheese, you could just try taking Lactaid before you eat. If that makes your symptoms go away, Lactaid is an enzyme. It just replaces the missing lactase enzyme in your stomach. Then you got your answer. You were lactose intolerant.
Yeah, just don't drink milk. You know.
You could try Beano. Mm-hmm. Beano is another set of enzymes that will crack undigestible sugars in things like beans and cauliflower and broccoli, and if that fixes it, that was the answer.
You're good, yep.
And so you can either avoid those things or you can just take Beano with every meal. But if you want to do something a little more scientific, I would do the elimination diet. Mm-hmm. And talk to your primary care about it, because if you have celiac disease, they can test you for that. There is a blood test for the antibody. Gastroenterologists will go down and do a biopsy of the duodenum and the mucous membrane there, and they can see sort of specific pathologic changes. If none of this works, then you need to see a gastroenterologist because it may not just be irritable bowel syndrome. You could have an inflammatory bowel disease like ulcerative colitis, or you could have Crohn's disease, and that needs to be diagnosed by them, and that needs to be treated.
Right.
Yeah. If you have untreated ulcerative colitis, it does increase your chances of getting colon cancer down the road. But knowing that means you're going to be less likely to get it because you're going to get it treated. Mm. Okay? So
right on.
You can try fiddling around with this stuff and then just make sure at some point you get checked.
Yep.
Okay?
Eliminate first.
Yep.
Save your money.
But my problem, and by the way, there's all kinds of stuff for irritable bowel syndrome now. Mm. That are very effective, including IBGuard, which is kind of expensive, but it's enteric-coated peppermint, and it's anti-inflammatory at the level of the bowel. It's got some decent data behind it. There's a medical food called Enterigam. It's about 90. It used to be $50 a month. It's up to $90 a month now. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm on for my irritable bowel. I only have to take it about once a week, once every 2 weeks at this point.
Wow.
And it's antibodies that actually go in and bind toxins in the bowel that and it binds them so that they can't come in contact with the bowel wall. And if they can't come in contact, they don't cause inflammation and you don't have irritable bowel syndrome, or at least the symptoms of it. So that's something that you could consider as well. But all of these are best dealt with under the workup and supervision of your primary care provider.
Yes.
And if they need to refer you to a gastroenterologist, do it. But don't live with this. You don't have people who are listening to this that have similar symptoms. You do not have to live this way.
No.
There's a treatment out there for you. We just have to nail down what the cause
is. Right.
All right.
Hey, Dr. Steve. On my scrotum, I have what I could best describe as a small kind of microcalcification that is about 2 millimeters in diameter, and it seems to be in like subcutaneous tissue.
And damn!
It has not really
give yourself a bill.
But you know, every time I grab it or I feel it, I'm just getting concerned about it. Anything that you can tell me about that? Is this a normal type thing, or what can I what can I expect? And I will say that it does appear white in nature, and like I said, it seems to be in the subcutaneous tissue.
Okay, no, I think he nailed it. It's a scrotal calcification is the most likely thing. If it's not growing and it hasn't grown for years, it's almost zero malignant potential. These things generally are benign. There are some people that get bunches of them. It's called scrotal calcinosis. I encourage you to Google that because it's pretty outstanding how these people's scrotums look like they've got a bag of marbles in there. And it most of the time these are subcutaneous, meaning that the, you know, it's under the top layers of skin. Since it's bothering him, though, you know, a lot of people, they just have it and it never changes, doesn't bother. Since it's bothering him, a urologist could remove that really easily. Mm-hmm. Or they may go, ah, it ain't anything, and reassure you that you don't have to worry about it. All right. All right. You got anything, Dr. Scott?
I like it.
I had a couple of medical news stories, but we'll save it for next time. We did too many, can't do too many medical questions. So we did okay. Hey, don't forget stuff.drsteve.com. That's stuff.drsteve.com. For all your Amazon needs, it really does make a huge difference, and we really appreciate your use of stuff.drsteve.com. You can scroll down, see all the things we talk about on the show. Don't forget tweakedaudio.com. Offer code FLUID for 33% off the best earbuds for the money on the internet. And also the best customer service anywhere. Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. You got anything new on there?
No, just that sinus spray.
Sinus spray is the greatest thing ever made.
Good stuff.
I got to give you props on that. Don't forget, if you had a premium membership before, I implore you to go to premium.drsteve.com and sign back up. You don't have it anymore unless you've signed back up in the last little bit. And to incentivize you to sign back up, because I screwed up and accidentally turned the premium membership off and deleted everybody's accounts, use the offer code FLUID for that, and you'll get a huge discount on the first 3 months. It's already cheap. It's $1.99 a month. You get access to all the archives. If we can get back up anywhere close to where we were before, I promise to put some interesting premium content in the premium channel. But until then, you have all our previous premium episodes, plus you have all the archives of all of our shows from Riotcast Rules On. All right, very good. Thank you for doing that. It's premium.drsteve.com. Thanks. Always go to Dr. Scott. We can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, Eric Nagel, Roland Campos. Hello, Bob. Bob in Florida. Hugh Jasshole. Stu Pedasso. Sam Roberts. Pat Duffy. I'm doing a very terrible Riley Martin impression. Dennis Falcone. Ron Bennington. Fizz Watley, whose early support of this show has never gone unappreciated. See, I forget the good ones that they spoofed Riley with. I know they hit him with Hugh Jasshole and the... the ever inimitable Stu Pedasso. Anyway, Eton Twats, that's my favorite one. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM, channel 103, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com. for schedules and podcasts and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.